Good morning. This is Daisy from Gebhardt Daily, and I am honored to be talking to Adrian Connor, who is the lead guitarist for Hell's Bells. Do we call it a tribute band to AC/DC, Adrian?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And also a prominent artist in your own right. And we should say that you guys are coming to the Commonwealth Room in Salt Lake City on January 28th. Can't wait to see you. I just wanted to ask you first, Adrian, do you remember either the band or the song that made you want to be a musician?
Well, I started so young. So it was ABBA, and my mom would play ABBA in the big, we had this big Buick station wagon, and I would go all the way to the back and put my ear to the speaker and listen to the music and sing along. And I thought I wanted to be a singer, but then when I grew up, I realized, oh, I'm a very good singer. I mean, to be a singer, you know what I mean?
So that took you to a love of guitar?
Yes, it did, yeah.
And I was wondering, because I was reading that, I correct me if I'm wrong, but you grew up in Seattle, then you went to Austin, then you went to San Antonio.
Yes,
San Antonio. And I was just wondering about kind of how you found the music scene in each of those places.
Seattle, it had a music scene. I haven't lived there since 2001. So I'm, you know, we go back and we work there. I mean, a lot of the girls live there, and we go and work there, but we play a totally different part of the music community than like a music scene, you know, where like original music is fostered and taken care of and people are interested in it. We don't really see that because we're the tribute band. So, I don't really know what's going on in Seattle anymore. I just knew I was working there with Hell's Bells and I was trying to do my original music in 2001, and I knew that there was no future for me there with my original music. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the longevity of Hell's Bells has been that I've always done my original music, no matter what, like alongside with Hell's Bells. I think that's really brought the longevity of Hell's Bells, because I book tours and I go out and I play and I'm out and about and I see a lot of bands and see a lot of people. And that's really important for when you're have been a band for so long, like you're working with five other women, you know, people. It's been 22 years now of this band and it's not the same members. You know what I mean? I mean, things change, people change, and they, you know, the road is really hard, traveling's hard. So being able to stay in contact, plugged into kind of like people performing, mm-hmm. and writing music, that's really important to do. And so that doing original music has kept me plugged into that whole thing.
So the fact that you're doing both your original music and Hell's Bells is kind of fulfilling to you.
Yeah, I would feel like an imposter if I was doing just the tribute band thing. I don't think I could play as well. You know, I don't think I would play. I think I'd, you know, kind of be a little more rusty, because if I'm doing my original music, I'm always playing. Mm-hmm. Whereas, yeah.
How's the music scene in San Antonio?
It's okay. I mean, it's nothing like Austin. Austin still has the best music scene that I've seen anywhere in the United States. And as big as that city's getting, it's not translating to the music community that I can tell, which is really disappointing, because I moved there in 2000 and I moved there in 2002. And I was surprised at like how many people would just go out, and they just go out and they watch bands and they want to, there's this culture of wanting to be out and meeting people and talking to people, where I didn't get that in Seattle. In Seattle, everybody was kind of hung up, and this was back in 01, so mm-hmm. this is dated information, but it just seemed like it was all about, you know, I'm going to be the next star or whatever, and there, it was just kind of hard to get people interested that weren't already playing music to come out and watch the music. In Austin, it's a little bit better. I do wish that the folks that are moving there, that are in, you know, moving into all the big condos and stuff, I wish they were getting more invested in the artists that play there. But I mean, if you hustle, you gotta have really hustle, and you play, you're willing to play different styles of music as a musician, you can probably get by making a living there as a musician, but you gotta hustle. And you kind of have to be willing to play different genres and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. San Antonio, I'm in a band called Fea, and that is a really cool band. Chicana punk, some of it's in English. They let me in the band. I don't know. I'm in, I don't know, not Chicana. But
you said Chicana punk? I love it.
Yeah, they're on Joan Jett's label, Blackheart Records. Yeah, and so their name is Fea, which is Spanish for ugly girl. And they're one of the more active bands out here. Probably the most active band that I know as a newcomer to San Antonio is Piñata Protest. But it's not, I haven't seen it like, it's just not like Austin. It's not as, I just don't get the sense that, I just haven't seen it. Yeah, but I'm gone a lot, so I don't know. But it's definitely not as vibrant as Austin.
And I read a quote that you said about Hell's Bells, I think about the current lineup, that you said everybody in the band shows up and it's like a unit, like a machine. And I wondered, was that a synergy that happened immediately with the current lineup, or did that take a while to kind of kick into gear?
I think it's more so a machine than it's ever been. It's that AC/DC, it's kind of speaking to what AC/DC does. Like, they are a machine. The rhythm section is so tight. The vocals, the timing is very specific. It's very close. I mean, a lot of those songs are almost rapping. So like your rhythm has to be, and people know when it's wrong, you know, because they're, when it's popular songs, you know, and it's more speaking to AC/DC. So if we're replicating what AC/DC is doing, which is our goal in terms of sonically and presenting as a show, so we want to kind of pretend to be them, then we should be working as a machine, as a unit. Mm-hmm.
Which must be very satisfying, I would imagine.
It's really fun. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I also read somewhere that you said that, as well as, you know, functioning as a machine, that you also try and kind of change each show up a little bit. The footage I've seen seems very spontaneous, particularly with what you do.
Oh, good. I hope so.
Because I've seen stuff where you're getting on the bar, and I think footage where you handed your guitar to someone to play.
Oh, yeah. I just find little things to do to try and make it more fun for me and everybody else. And I don't want to, for me, the same thing every time is not that fun. So yeah. I might be going a little bit beyond the script with getting on the bar.
Grabbing people. Has that ever gone wrong? Have you ever like tripped or
probably it's been a long time. I only started doing that probably 10 years in. It's been like 21 years of doing this now, so that's kind of beyond script, but yeah, I just want to make it spontaneous and fun, and I don't want to think too much about what I'm going to do or anything.
Yeah.
So
I also wondered, so you've been with the band for 21 years, right? 2021. Have you found that people's sort of attitude towards AC/DC, like, have they got more popular in those 20 years? Have you found like there's more interest in you guys as time goes on?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's more of a solid, I guess it depends on what city you're in. Generally, like little kids really like it, and then 35 and up like it, and at this moment in time, and not too much in between there. When we first started in 01, it was like, it, because the tribute band thing was new, or a new idea, it was like everybody, it was like mostly like 20 somethings, but this is 2001, so the same amount of people are now, you know, in their 40s, and so they're still hanging and chilling. And then we've always got the little kids, like at the Mangy Moose, which we're doing that weekend too, there is like a lot of crazy 20 somethings and early 30s at that, in that city, where, and they're like, ah, they really go crazy. So yeah, it just depends. The music stands the test of time and goes over generations. You know what I mean? Like everybody loves it. And yeah. So that's kind of the strength of that music, and how universal it is a big testament or reason why we've been had so much longevity, and also being kind of like starting at that time, that early time, and then having building for so long, I guess. Yeah, it stays strong. I wouldn't say like, oh, thousands more.
Yeah. Maybe. And do you have a proudest on stage moment that stands out, either from your solo career or Hell's Bells or the punk band that you play in?
Oh wow! Well, Thea, that's a new thing I started in February. This year we opened for L7, which was like one of my favorite bands when I first started playing guitar. Kind of them and Nirvana, that whole power chord way of approaching the guitar was how I started on guitar, and was like, wow, I was like, oh, I can do this, you know, power chords. So getting to over L7 was huge, the huge circle. And for Hell's Bells, when we get to open for bands that I loved when I was a kid, those things are what make it like so cool.
Do you have those pinch me moments where you're like, oh my gosh, this is what I do for a living?
At home. I'll do that at home and just be like, I'm so lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, that's almost every day.
Yeah. And do you have a philosophy kind of by which you live generally?
I don't believe that I should live, or I don't believe that I'm meant to live afraid or in fear. It doesn't mean I'm not going to experience it, but I believe that I'm protected, and that I'm always, always going to be okay, no matter what. And it's okay if I get scared, and it's normal, but that's my main belief.
I love it. And then just finally, you can just say yes or no to this, but I understand that you even have an AC/DC tattoo. Is that right?
No.
You don't?
No way.
That's so funny, because I was like, I read that you had a tattoo, and I was dying to know whether that was real or not.
No.
You're like, hell no. So just to circle back, you guys are coming to the Commonwealth Room, which is a great venue. I don't know whether you've been there before, but it's a really, you have. Yeah. January 28th. And then for people that want tickets, it's thestateroompresents.com. And I will be there. I can't wait.
It's great.
Yeah, me and my sister are really big fans. So we'll be there. And I really appreciate your time. Adrian.
Oh, I assume
that there's probably photos on the website that we can use if we going to use some photos of you. Is that okay?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, perfect. Well, we will get this together, and then I will share it with you and your publicist, who's been super helpful. And I just really appreciate your time. Thank you ever so much for talking to me.